back on The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Melissa Harris-Perry. It's now been more than 8 months since Russian authorities detained Brittany Griner at the Moscow airport. The WNBA superstar admitted in July to accidentally bringing small amounts of cannabis oil into the country and was sentenced to 9 years in prison, close to the maximum allowed under law. Last month, a Russian court upheld that sentence on appeal. Griner addressed the court from behind bars.
It's been very, very stressful and a very traumatic to my mental and psyche, being away from my family and not being able to communicate.
Griner had been in Russia playing for Russia's Premier League, which has long been a popular destination for both male and female basketball players to compete and earn money in the offseason. But out of protest over Griner's imprisonment, not a single WNBA player is returning to Russia this winter. Here to talk more about Griner and the experience for American basketball players in Russia is James Wade, Griner's former coach in Russia at UMMC Ekaterinburg. He's currently the general manager and head coach of the WNBA's Chicago Sky. Coach Wade, thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
We're going to get to the situation involving Brittany Griner in a moment, but first I was hoping you might be able to give us some perspective here. You spent much of your professional basketball playing career and coaching career in Europe, including long stretches in Russia. Why do American basketball players, particularly women, play in Europe often during the off season, and what are their experiences like?
It's a way for them to boost their income. It's also a way for them to perfect their craft. I think a lot of times when the season is, it's not as long as their counterparts, the NBA season, you have a lot of downtime. And so by playing overseas, whether it be Europe, Asia, or Australia, it's a way to play more basketball, to perfect the craft that you love. But at the same time, it also gives you an uptick in your income that is always welcome.
Particularly for female basketball players in WNBA who do not make anything near what the millions that NBA players are making.
For sure. And that's always going to be a topic of discussion as far as, the money that the players are able to make during their highlight of their athletic abilities. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's evolving. And, I know for sure that it's a part that the WNBA has made strides to try to improve on. So we're just hoping that it continues to create spaces for players that they don't have to play overseas if they don't want to, or they don't have to play overseas if it's only for income purposes. So. Yeah. We're making strides in that direction, but it's always going to be a topic of discussion because the players are, they deserve the best that they can get. And especially during this, during their prime years of being able to show off their athletic gifts, and because you want them to be in a situation after they're playing where they're doing stuff that they want to do, not stuff that they have to do.
Brittany Griner, like yourself, is a Black American. Did you face animosity, racism in Russia from either fans or the government when you were coaching there? Did you experience anything that could have foreshadowed this harsh treatment of Brittany and her detention?
Well, when I was there, I never really experienced anything that would, cause me to be in a situation where I was nervous or, I guess, afraid for my life. Mostly the fans were great. The organization treated us with the utmost respect. And so I never was in a situation where I thought that I was being victimized because of my race or anything like that. Of course, you always run into unruly people around. That probably happened to me maybe once or twice, but nothing that I can just say, hey, it's time for me to get out of here because I'm afraid for my life.
Sure.
I had some great years there, met some great people, and like I said, the organization was always, they treated us well. So But this is, you know, everything that's going on with Brittany is very unfortunate. And it's, I don't think it's something that anybody could have foreshadowed and say, you know, this is because players have been going to Russia and this specifically playing in that club for years, I remember, you know, when I first got overseas, that was around the time, I think, Delisha Milton Jones and Yolanda Griffith were Annie Catherenberg. And so they had helped secure a good reputation for that club. And many star players followed. So, no, this is really unprecedented, I think. And really, it's probably one of the oddest things that, you know, we've experienced in the world of basketball, especially with players playing overseas.
And when you were in Russia, you coached Brittany Griner, and you guys were quite successful. You won championships. Can you tell me a little bit about the success you guys had on the court and what Brittany was like to coach?
We were a dominant team. While I was there, we won two Euroleagues in a row, and we were on our way to a third before the pandemic hit. And they were able to follow that up with another one soon thereafter. And we won three Russian championships and two Super Cups. Like we won mostly everything while I was there. And BG was the main focal point of our offense a lot of the time. And her being a great person off the floor, she just fit in with the environment and the culture that they tried to create, especially bringing star players in. And the one thing that they always, you know, welcome and promoted was, you know, the stars being so, you know, reachable and touchable to fans. And so she was maybe, I guess, the player that was the most interactive with the fans and really the face of the franchise for so long. So I'm sure it's hitting, you know, us hard, but I'm sure it's hitting their fan base hard as well. But, you know, she was really down to earth and always stopping to take pictures, sign autographs, and doing skits that showed on the Jumbotron. She would do those a lot. And so and you can see the fans get a rise out of that every time she would do them. So, I mean, she was very interactive and she's a big star there. Yeah. And so I'm sure it's tough for everyone, but it's not, you know, as tough as it is for her family and friends. And our league in the WNBA, we missed her a lot this year. And not just on the court, the fact that she's not, you know, at home safe and just with her family and friends, it gives us a peace of mind when we know all our players are in a good place.
For sure. I must have cast a shadow over this past season. Have you been involved in advocating for Brittany's release? I know you've made several public statements. You've been interviewed about it. Is there anything else that you're able to do?
I don't know. I'm open for anything and suggestions. And I just, you know, I'm in a situation where I try to use my voice as much as possible. We're in consistent contact with the league and just trying to find other avenues of what best ways we can help. I always try to stay in contact with her representation, just to know if I'm taking the right steps, if I'm doing the right thing. I know this is a delicate situation, and so I don't want to overstep in any way. I don't want to misrepresent anyone in any way. So I try to be as careful as possible. I'm nervous about, you know, not, you know, trying to do too much as well. So I just try to make sure that I'm there for her in any way that I can be. I know my voice is not as strong or as out there as a lot of our star players in the league. And so I just try to play my part, even if it's a, you know, even if it's a bench part, everybody has a role. So whatever they need me to do, I'm willing to do. So, this is just me trying to do whatever I can just to bring awareness to that situation and, not let us get bored with talking about her and just keeping this at the top of everybody's mind.
Sure. There's been suggestions that Brittany's situation might have been handled differently. It might have been treated differently if she was a NBA superstar, not a WNBA superstar. Do you think that's true?
I do. I think it's first she wouldn't be in the situation, but I just feel like, I see the comments and stuff that are made about her, and we do a bad job, I think, of recognizing the Constitution and people's rights, and really appreciating the people that are, that are in the minority, as far as women, as far as Black people. I think it's a she falls on a double-edged sword as far as her being an African American woman, as far as her being, a woman. So I think it's probably one of the least appreciated race, gender mixes in our society. And I just feel sorry for a lot of people who, I mean, they call themselves Christians and they say this is a Christian society, but this is how we treat people. So, it's disheartening that it's like that, because I see the comments and I take note of what people say. And once you can put faces on how people sound, you know that we're not in a good place.
James Wade is the head coach and general manager of the WNBA's Chicago Sky. Coach Wade, thanks very much for coming on The Takeaway to talk about Brittany Griner, and best of luck to the Sky next season.
All right, thank you. I really appreciate it. And, I appreciate you giving us a voice for this. And hopefully, we'll have Brittany home in enough time where this won't be a topic of discussion come next season.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.